when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, welcome to the second hour. This, by the way, I'd like to say this again. This tonight's broadcast is dedicated to my beloved son-in-law. I loved him very much. I've known him for 35 years. So he married my oldest daughter. They've been married for 30 years. They produced my only grandson, who I would give my kidney. I would give my life. There's nothing on this earth I wouldn't do for my grandson. And I felt the same way about my son-in-law. One of the greatest guys I've ever known. He was a greater man than me in some ways, in many ways. And my oldest daughter, I've never seen anybody like her. My oldest daughter's got the guts of a lion. You know, I run marathons, and I'll tell you what, her endurance exceeds mine. I'm just amazed what she can do. She held up under incredible pressure with a sick husband for about for months, and he finally died. We were all with him in the hospital, critical care, about 1:30, 1:50 p.m. yesterday morning. It was a horrible, horrible death. I've never seen anyone suffer so. So this show is dedicated to my son-in-law, Joseph Pio Scola. And listen, people, we have coming up tonight. First of all, we've Rob has agreed to come over. And he's going to tell us about an event that's going to be held in Arkansas pretty soon in the spring. But after he gets through telling about this event, we're going to go to Nancy Hitt, my big sister Nancy Hitt, and little baby sister Monica Braveheart Schaefer. They've got a great show lined up. So without further ado, Jason, since we ran out of time on the first hour, please tell the people once again briefly who you are, your resume, and what's going to be going on over in Harrison, Arkansas, probably April.
Sure, yes, yeah. So again, my name is Jason Robb. As you already said, my father, most people are probably more aware of, is Pastor Thomas Robb. And so he's a pastor of the Christian Revival Center. He's a national director of the Knights Party here in Arkansas. Him and my mom have been involved in the white nationalist movement since the mid-60s. And so we have a conference here in Arkansas, outside of Harrison, Arkansas, which is in the Ozarks. So if anyone knows where Branson, Missouri is at, we are about 30 miles south of Branson, Missouri. So we are in the Ozarks. And so on April 28th, 29th, and 30th, which is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have our annual Faith and Freedom Conference. And the theme of that conference is an appeal to heaven. That's been a slogan a lot of people have kind of seen maybe recently. I know around here in the Ozarks we've seen that a lot. But we decided to pick that theme as an appeal to heaven as our theme for this year, mainly because, you know, we have to realize that as a nation, as a people, we all obviously have responsibility to do our part to awaken our people, to awaken our racial people. Spread this message of what we call white Christian revival to our brothers and sisters. But at the end of the day, we always have to make an appeal to heaven. We have to make an appeal to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who's our racial kinsman redeemer. And we have to have him as our king. And so this Faith and Freedom Conference is just a great opportunity for like-minded white brothers and sisters, families, to come for 3 days, to meet each other, to rekindle connections that, you know, maybe friends that maybe have not attended, you know, for a while, but it's a time to get together, to get that spiritual growth, to be around like-minded people, to have the same concerns of what's happening with our country and with our people, and just to build that faith and become more positive in what we can do and reaching our people. And whatever mechanisms and whatever ways we can do it, sometimes we think that what we do is insignificant, but we have to realize that God is going to use us whatever capacity he feels that we need to be able to be done in order to reach our people. So some people can write letters, some people can print, some people can be on the air, some people can donate. So we all have an ability to do something to spread this message to our people. And so so that's the theme. Some of the speakers we're going to have is obviously my father, Pastor Thomas Robb. We're having Rachel Pendergraf. They'll be speaking. We're also going to have Steve Kukla, who's a Bible scholar and singer from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who will be here. And then we'll also have Pastor Everett Ramsey, who holds a Christian Identity Church in Houston, Missouri. He's going to be down here as well, and then I will be speaking. We have some other speakers we have not got confirmed yet that we're hoping they'll be able to be here. But it's a nice facility, a nice place to meet. We have men and women's cabins. If you don't want to pitch a tent, we have men's and women's cabins you can stay in. And all they have to do is give us a call. The phone number is 870-427-3414. Or 870-302-9884, or you can go to Christian Revival Center, and you can look at our website, and you can get more information from there as well.
And if anybody needs further information, if you missed that, you can always send me an email, 80@bloodriverradio.com, and I can always get that information for you. I can send you to Jason. I can tell you people, the food, Jason, one thing that he left out is the food is excellent. The security is excellent. Nobody's going to come on that compound that's not supposed to be there. You meet the greatest people in the world you've ever seen. It's just like, it's a great family camaraderie. If I can possibly get away, I'll certainly be there. You know, the food, like I say, you'll have a wonderful time. It's very relaxing, you know, and
It's in a rural setting, so you don't have, it's not right in the middle of a city or anything like that. It's out in the country, and it's just a nice, relaxing atmosphere.
The weather is usually nice and cool. The air is crisp. It's in the middle of the Ozarks. It's what you right. think the Ozarks would be. If you wanted to, you could even leave. It's not that far to Branson, one of the vacation spots of the United States. Well, Jason, thank you so much for staying on, son. And I'll be getting in contact with you. Thank you so much. I wish we had more time the first hour. I probably didn't plan this thing out like I should have.
But, I enjoyed listening to Fred Lerchner. Anytime he's on the air, I'm just always amazed the accomplishments he's done and the struggles he's had to go through.
Oh, man, the guy paid the price. If we stay in there, a lot of us, I guess, pay the price in different ways. But give my love to your entire family. We'll have to have you and maybe Ed or your dad on with Pastor Ramsey again. He hadn't been on. He's been gone too long. Give him my give Pastor Ramsey my tell him I said hello.
I will definitely do that.
Well, God bless you, Jason. Thank you so much for coming on, son.
Okay, thank you.
Well, people, you heard Jason Robb. You heard that. And you heard the first hour. Now we're in here. I'm sorry I had to take up so much time of the second hour, but I didn't get. I had promised Jason we would let him get that information out. We ran out of time the first hour, so tonight, right now, from now, the rest of the show, we have my big sister Nancy Hitt and my little sister Monica Braveheart. And we have the last two. We can hold them over the third hour if they want to stay because there's plenty of room for the rest of the show. So how are you doing tonight? We'll bring in Miss Monica, and then introduce herself, we'll let Nancy give us a little outline. How you doing tonight, sister?
Doing very well. Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. I was wondering if I was going to be able to make it there for a while. So, Sister Nancy, give us a little say hello and give us a little outline of what we're going to be doing.
Hello, listeners. I've got a little outline here. I think Eddie and Monica are familiar with some of these things, and I was going to outline. I'm just going to start with just kind of a calendar of events that have happened in February. On February the 18th, which was Saturday, that was the Saturday that we had the program last Saturday, Vice President Kamala Harris was in Munich calling out the Russians as war criminals. I call it extremely hypocritical, and I have a name that we might use for her this week, but I'll defer on that for just a moment. On the 19th, which was the following day on a Sunday, there was an anti-war protest in D.C. I don't know if anybody even knows much about it. I would be surprised if anybody knows the number of people who attended. That has been something that has totally been censored, and I think it's just reprehensible. The media has, as far as I can tell, you could go to YouTube, and I know on Democracy Now, they were promoting it to a certain extent and also trying to attempt to also promote the release of Julian Assange, which, of course, I am all for that. I did see Ron Paul speak briefly at this anti-war protest, but basically it's been shut out and censored. Another thing that, of course, has been censored is the media hasn't been talking about the U.S. destruction of the Nord Stream 1 and 2, which adversely affected not only Russia's economy, but our so-called ally, Germany, got the shaft by our by destroying these two pipelines. What was it?
Nancy,
hear the music.
That first break came. It's just lightning fast. Folks, we'll be right back. We're going back to Miss Nancy Riggs right after this first break.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
The Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio audience, I know Sister Nancy said that Camel Riding Harris, she's talking about war crimes, Russia's committing war crimes. I wonder if she's talking about Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the United States being the only nation in the world that's ever dropped atomic bombs and roasting tens of thousands of innocent men, women, suckling infants. They burned those Japanese alive. And I'll point out this before we go to back to Miss Sister Nancy. The reason they picked Hiroshima and Nagasaki is because those were the two cities in Japan that had a fledgling Christian community. And your Satanist running the world in those days, the Jews that ran the United States or England and France, they knew the Christians were popping up there, and they just, boy, they hate Christians like you would not believe. But I just thought I'd get that as an aside. And you, Kamala Harris, whatever the hell your real name is, the hypocrisy you have, it just, I spit on you. But anyway, go back to you, Sister Nancy. Yeah. I guess I'm getting too carried away.
I'm trying to give kind of a rundown of events in the last part of February. Okay, on the February the 20th, which would be Monday, following the anti-war protest in D.C., our so-called elected president went to Ukraine, supposedly secretly, and he gave another $100 million of aid and weapons to Ukraine. This is the following day. That's on the 20th. On the 21st, we have a very educated, well-spoken, cultured leader of Russia spoke on the 21st. That was Tuesday. That was Putin's speech to his congressmen, to his fellow leaders. He speaks three languages. And can we really say that Biden even speaks one? I'm not sure if he's really speaking English. And then I want to put a comment on what happened here in Louisville on last night. Friday night, the fools in Louisville had a protest downtown supporting Ukraine. So although we all realize war is hell, and it is certainly not a pleasant to say that we cannot support Ukraine. Of course, these people are suffering. But we have to look at the historical facts of why we want to destroy Russia and why Russia even stepped in to try to protect the breakaway eastern part of Ukraine, the Donbass. Facts matter, folks, and somebody needs to be waking up. Some of our elected officials need to wake up and learn something about the history of Ukraine. I went and tried to find out how many Republicans voted for what they called the $40 billion bailout of Ukraine, and 57 Republicans did vote against it. But the majority of Republicans voted to give this money away to Ukraine, in addition to what Biden gave away on Monday. I mean, it's just I think it's like $135 billion so far, $130 billion. What do we care if it's $130 or $135 billion? What's the difference? So anyway,
you know what, Nancy?
Go ahead.
I'd like to chime in quickly on that. And, you know, meanwhile, they just every time they have a so-called budget, they have to keep, we're going to run out of money. We have to raise the debt ceiling. They keep raising the debt ceiling until the dollar is becoming worthless. The stinking communists in Washington, D.C. are borrowing money. They're taking everything they can get from the taxpayers, and they're borrowing more to give to foreign entities. We have people, and I hate to keep talking about the veterans. We have veterans that should be in the mental institutions that have just been destroyed by these so-called wars. We have people that are running out of their Social Security. Biden's over there saying, don't you worry, these Ukrainians. He says he's going to bail out their pension system. He's going to take care. He said, tell these Ukrainians, don't worry about a thing. We're going to feed you. We're going to clothe you from womb to tomb. We're taking care of your. We're going to take care of your pension funds. Meanwhile, some of the Republicans talk about doing away with the Social Security. We've been going a long time. Before we go any further, Miss Monica, would you like to make some comments on what we said so far?
Yeah, okay. Just Nancy, when you're talking about what provoked Putin to have to go into Ukraine because there were high Russian populations there, it reminds me of what happened at the beginning of World War II. Is it not very similar to the provocations that were occurring in Poland? Sure. German communities, German villages and towns, some just big massacres were going on of the Germans. And so Hitler had to go protect his people. And in addition to that, I do think that Poland, what I've read and heard is that they actually did fire the first shots. There were some border skirmishes there, but history books tell us otherwise. And in school, they told us otherwise that Hitler wanted to take over the world. But in fact, the eternal poisoners of the well, they project onto their victims that which they want to do themselves. And as we see now very clearly before our eyes, they are the ones who want to take over the world. It's Jews who want to take over the world. That's, you know, they've been mm-hmm. talking about this one world government for a long time, sometimes openly and sometimes a little bit more covertly, but that's what they're aiming to do. I'll pass it back to you.
Sure. Well, I totally agree with that. Of course, I do think Poland Germany was being set up secretly by the British, basically making promises to Poland. And yes, the Polish people, let's say the Germans who were residing in Poland were certainly tortured and killed en masse. That's for sure. So this is somewhat related. Yeah, I think it's very related.
And in fact, when this war started just over a year ago, they made some references to, oh, this is just like, you know, Hitler invading. And I thought, okay, well, thank you very much. You're making that comparison for us, except, of course, in the mainstream, they meant it differently. They meant mm-hmm. it with that narrative in mind that, oh, yeah, it was Hitler wanting to take over the world and evil, 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 right? But so that, I thought that was kind of interesting. They did make that parallel for us in the mainstream over a year ago.
Monica, I'd like to ask you to do something if before we go back to Miss Nancy, because this is not a rabbit trail, but this stupid nig Kamala Harris is talking about war crimes committed by Russia. And I've just talked about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We all know what happened in Dresden. But Miss Monica, tell the people what this precious Christian Eisenhower did to the disarmed German troops at the end of the war. You talking about a war crime. And I think your dad was in one of these Eisenhower death camps. Give us a little bit of information to the audience, to our family, about what happened to some of these friendly camps where they kept the German prisoners after the Second World War. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yes. So they, after the war was over, or at least after the bombs stopped dropping, the war never really ended, they rounded up German soldiers and I think civilian workers as well, but they rounded up a lot of German people, and it wasn't just men. I know that there were also some camps with that had women, but anyway, mostly it was men. They were rounded up and put into open fields that just had fences around, like barbed wire fences, and you know, these were the prisoners were kept there, and they were renamed. So instead of prisoner of war, they were renamed disarmed enemy combatant. And the reason why this was done, and I believe it was Eisenhower who decreed that they be renamed, is so that they would not have to follow the rules of
Geneva
war.
Geneva Convention.
Geneva Convention. Yeah. Thank you, Nancy. Mm-hmm. Where they had to, the Geneva Convention says that prisoners of war must be fed the same amount, you know, the same rations as the people who are holding them, as the jailers, so to speak. So mm-hmm. in other words, if the people who are holding them have enough food to eat, well, then the prisoners better have enough food to eat also. Now, they could just sidestep all that by renaming them disarmed enemy combatant, DECs. And thereby, there was a deliberate strategy to starve them. And my father was in one of these fields, and he described it. He didn't talk often about these things, but he did occasionally, and I wish that he was still alive and I could ask him a lot of questions, because I didn't really wake up to what was going on until after my parents had both died, and I would have paid a lot more attention to what they were saying, plus I would have asked them a lot of questions. And this happens to many, many people, that we wake up a little too late to be able to really talk about these things with our parents. But anyway, he says that between a third and a quarter of those who were in the camp that he was in died. And he described it that sometimes healthy men would come in and a few days later they were crawling, not able to do anything but crawl, and they would die. I hear
That's
the music.
True. With that, folks, into that note, we'll take our second break of the second hour. Be right back, folks.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. While hundreds take part in a Washington, D.C. rally to mark the one-year anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine this afternoon at the Lincoln Memorial, the U.S. is imposing new sanctions on Russia. The new penalties include U.S. financial and travel sanctions against 200 Russian individuals and other entities who support the invasion. When you have access to Zoom, you don't need to go to a toxic chemical train derailment site. That's according to President Joe Biden.
When a reporter outside of the White House asked President Biden, "Are you planning to travel to East Palestine, Ohio?" Biden responded, "At this point, I'm not. I did a whole video Zoom. All I can think of every time I think of Zoom is that song in my generation, Who's Zooming Who?" Referring to the 1985 song by the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Biden then argued against allegations that his administration isn't doing enough in its response to the train derailment. I'm Corey Myers.
A teenager is among those under arrest for a shooting at a Georgia gas station which left 9 children hurt. Happened in Columbus, Georgia. The teen is 15. His name is not being released, but 35-year-old D'Angelo Robinson Sr. is also in custody. Robinson is charged with 8 counts of aggravated assault. The victims in last week's shooting were as young as 5. 2 people are dead, 11 others injured, after bicyclists were hit by a pickup truck in Arizona. Happened this morning in Goodyear, west of Phoenix, and police spokesperson Lisa Berry shared some of the details on what happened.
We have a single vehicle with a male driver, adult male driver, who has remained on scene and is cooperative with police.
One person died at the scene while another passed away at the hospital. What caused the accident is under investigation. This is USA News.
Remember customer service? Yeah, it's almost a lost art. Almost, because actually MediShare is nailing it when it comes to caring for their members. No wonder MediShare gets double the satisfaction rating compared to health insurance. Imagine, you get to talk to actual people, and they're for you.
Well, we're all here for the same thing. We want what's best for the members.
How am I going to help this member today that has come across my desk? How am I going to make sure that what they need is what they get and as fast as possible?
So, yeah, you'll love the savings with MediShare. There's no doubt about that. But the way you're treated is just plain refreshing.
To be able to pray with them before actually disconnecting that call, you just get goosebumps. And you know it's God, you know, just leading you to that person.
So you can save a lot. But as always, it's people who make the difference. Call now. They are great to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Dear Blood River Radio family, if any of you people are squeamish, you might go get a cup of coffee or sandwich, because me and Miss Monica and my baby sister, my big sister, Nancy, we're going to start tarring feathering people. So if you've ever smelled feathers burning, it's not that great. It smells pretty rough. So anyway, we're going to go right back to Miss Nancy. Miss Nancy, give us started. Take off anywhere you want to go, and I'll join in, and so will Miss Monica. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, I think Monica was actually talking about the prisons that Eisenhower created, where they were just open pits where they didn't have any cover, they didn't have any latrines, they didn't have anything. They were just out in the open in the winter, and that they had renamed the soldiers and civilians to cover up, so they wouldn't have to abide by the Geneva Convention. They even went against the Geneva Convention before, maybe at Yalta, where they were going to use, and they did use, Germans as slave labor in France and England and Germany, rebuilding the country. I think that was also going against the Geneva Convention. But what I had, the only thing I really brought up was that the U.S. refused to allow for supplies to come in that was sent from Switzerland, that was sent in lots and lots of food and supplies that were sent to these camps, massive camps, from the Red Cross, and the U.S. refused to allow it to go in to feed these poor people who were dying, maybe as many as a million. But the only thing I wanted to pitch out from that was that the U.S. did the same daggone thing to the Muslims when they picked them up and threw them into prison, and some of them are still down there in Cuba at Gitmo, at Guantanamo. They were also considered, they were not even soldiers. They gave them some kind of name that they were also not considered soldiers, so they didn't have to worry about the Geneva Convention. And under Bush, they decided it was okay to torture them. So the country's gone berserk.
Absolutely.
Not only were the Red Cross not allowed to bring food to those prisoners of war or the disarmed enemy combatants, as they were renamed in those fields in Germany after the war, they were ordered to shoot anybody from the local towns or villages who tried to help the soldiers by passing, you know, a crust of bread through the fence or something like that. They had orders to shoot anybody who tried to help them that way. I mean, it's just barbaric, right? What was going on. And more Germans, apparently, this is what I have come to understand, correct me if I'm wrong, but more Germans died after the war than during the war. And I'm not talking about dying from old age.
Right. I think that's what I heard too.
Same here.
Of course, they died. But some of them probably died. You know, many of them spent 10 years. It's amazing to me that some of them ended up in a Soviet-occupied zone, were sent to the gulags, and they were not released until 1955. How they ever survived the gulags, but some of them did survive. And 10 years later, serving the master, serving our ally, our great friend Stalin, for 10 years. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I'd like to pitch out something else. I think everybody should listen to Putin's speech, read it, try to digest it. It was written, the one that, now he did two of them. The one that I've scanned over is mainly the one for Tuesday the 21st. And he talks about things that are never brought up in this country, like high standards, morals, going back to a sense of right and wrong, and, you know, not being satanic like America. They don't want to be like the West. So I hope people, that listeners, will take the time to try to find out what Putin really stands for. None of us can really know totally, but what he's saying is a lot more sensible than what our leadership is telling us.
This might be a good time to segue from the prisoners of war after World War II to our current prisoners of war. And there are quite a few, but I'm in touch with, three at the moment, but actually two, because one of them is not being permitted any mail, which is, in my view, just so draconian and arbitrary, and it amounts to, I think, a form of torture. And that would be Matt Hale, who is in the United States, and he's been in prison already for something like 18, maybe even 20 years. And most of those years were in solitary confinement. He is not in solitary now, but about 6 months ago, they just stopped letting any mail in or out to him other than from immediate family members. And his mother, Evelyn Hutchinson, I think I'm saying that right, she just died this week, and she was a rock for Matt, so this is going to hit him very, very hard. And it just baffles me that they are not allowing correspondence. Like, I was in an active letter writing correspondence with him, and I'm sure quite a few other people were too, and suddenly, well, the last letter I wrote to him got sent back to me. I knew that they were saying don't write, but I just thought, well, I'm just going to try it anyway. You never know. Maybe there's somebody in a good mood will just let it through. But no, they didn't. They sent it back. Go ahead.
I think he was in solitary for a long, long time. He's considered to be a terrorist, and he's in he's at Marion, Illinois, which is better than where he was in solitary. But, you know, I did not quite understand in the beginning. They put him in something that's kind of a what they call a communications department or area. They must control their communications. And I agree with you. The world can a man who's been in prison, he's sentenced to 40 years, didn't even commit a crime because he spoke out against the Jews, basically, is why he's behind bars. How is it that now, after all these years, he cannot even correspond with anybody outside of his own family. And like you say, his mother passed away, and she had been fighting from the day he was sentenced until she died just this week, you know, really fighting for him. And he's a classical violinist who is not allowed a violin. I mean, can they put in, you know, this? The American system is the most corrupt, brutal incarceration, I guess, maybe next to, I don't know, next to the communist Chinese. I don't really know. It's just horrible. Horrible.
When it's because it's run by Jews. It's really no longer America. It's the Jew United States. And with that, Sister Nancy, give us a little outline. Exactly what is Matt Hale supposed to have done? Why are they? What are they calling terrorists? What did he do to get on their bad side?
First of all, I think he hired a real bad lawyer, an ignorant lawyer, who actually was not in his corner at all. When he was picked up, I think he got advice from another inmate. And this man he hired, but of course Matt is a lawyer himself.
Well, what was his crime? Supposedly, what was his crime?
Go ahead.
He was framed. He was framed for something that he actually is on tape as being against. So
there was
an undercover agent. I don't know if that was an FBI agent or whatever, but there was an undercover agent who was trying to get him to solicit the murder of a judge.
And this guy
had a tape on running whenever you had these conversations with Matt, and Matt repeatedly says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. And yet still they frame him with this solicitation of the murder of a judge. I don't know how they managed to do that, but they did. But they make, you know, they make their rules up as they go along, as
you know,
we all have seen. Go ahead.
You know, I think the connection was that because of his outspoken belief in
the Church of Creativity, I think it's called,
right.
Like Ben Klassen.
Yeah, Ben Klass. Well, he knew he was outspoken. I think he would even speak on the streets. Of course, he was denied the right to become a lawyer even after he was graduated and had his degree, but Illinois would not allow him to practice. What happened is there was a judge who was killed. I think it was a Jewish judge, and they wanted to pin that on this religious group. So when Matt was framed by this probably FBI agent who was pretending to be his friend and taping his conversation, even though Matt said he would not be involved in anything illegal like that, they don't care because there was some connection. There had been a judge or the judge's husband, or somebody had been killed. They were Jewish, I believe, one of them. And I think they wanted to connect these two together, even though Matt had nothing to do with it. So, it's, you know, this is American government, American system, injustice. Yeah, you're right. That's how it worked out.
Yeah, so that's
40 years as a terrorist. He's a terrorist.
But they are obviously very, very afraid of Matt because he's a highly intelligent man, highly talented, informed man, and they are very afraid of him. Anyway, I hear the music.
Well, folks, we're getting ready to go to our last break at the second hour. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at lovingliberty.net.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Dear Blood River Radio, if you will, we said something a minute ago. If you're too squeamish, you might want to leave for a second. But we're getting ready to start. Each week, we're going to start tar and feathering people that have really screwed up big time. Like Camel Riding Harris, people like that. And we're also going to give a Tar Baby Award, and we're going to give our Wannabe Negro Awards away. All these kind of awards we're going to get, and we're going to give a Wannabe White Awards to Negroes. But anyway, Nancy, some of the people I would like to tar and feather to start with is, and you can be thinking of someone you want a tar and feather. I'd like to tar and feather Kamala Harris. So-called President Biden, Schumer, which is Congressman Schumer, Senator Feinstein, the clown in South Carolina, Lindsey Graham. I like to tar and feather them, and I mean I'm some smoking hot tar because we've ordered 12 tons of tar. It's going to be smoking. It's going to be boiling like rivers when it gets here. And we got all kinds of feathers, too. We're going to tar and feather the hell out of these people. Also, I forgot to tell y'all, we're going to start selling lampshades and floor mats made out of genuine Jewish skin. So you can buy your lampshades and your floor mats. And this came straight from the concentration camps. We have some of our Jewish friends that they survived the Holocaust. Uh-huh. And just they're trying to sell these. They found this warehouse of skin of lampshades and necklaces and Bible covers and floor mats. And they're made out of Jewish skin. And they decided instead of throwing them away, they would make more money because the Holocaust industry has not made really enough money to suit them. So they have given us graciously their production rights. So we're going to start selling lamps. So if you would like to get your lamp made out of a Jewish skin, or your commode seat made out of Jewish skin, or your floor mat where you can wipe your feet on these floor mats every time you come, made out of pure Jewish skin. Or send me an email, Eddie at bloodriverradio.com. And Nancy and Monica, they too have a supply. So you better, I'm sure the supply is not going to last long. But we'll start selling those after our first tar and feather session. Go ahead, Nancy. Who else are we going to tar and feather?
I tell you, a good one is that no good Senator Elizabeth Warren, because she's the one that wants to change all of the military base names and take down Arlington Confederate Monument. And then I think Monica wants to talk about her dog in relationship to one of these. One
is
of
that
these
Pavlov?
Things that's on.
well, yeah, he is practicing jumping so that we can demonstrate how high the dog can jump, you know, with our right arm. Nice straight arm salute. But also, he is modeling one of those lampshades right now. The little puppy has an injury, and so he's modeling the lampshade. It's kind of awkward. You know, he does bump into things a little bit. But anyway, there you go. Got the lampshade.
Oh, you know, okay. This is dog best Monica's dog lover, kind of like me. Also, I'm kind of a cat lover, so if you like litter boxes, if you get these litter boxes, we have those made out of Jewish lamps, Jewish skin, too. So anything you want, any product you want made out of Jewish skin, we have them from our Jewish buddies who survived Dachau. And right. They're selling all these. You know, who but a Jew can make money out of the skin of their own relatives?
And I had designed a custom designed badge called I Be Chosen, and it was designed in mind. It's specifically for our Jewish listeners, and it's a star, six-sided star, made out of real pigskin.
Well, I'll tell you what, are we going to sell those to our Jewish friends, the stars? Are we going to give them a...
You sure that's out of pigskin? You sure that's out of pigskin, eh?
It's fake pigskin.
Well, you know. Oh yeah, but they got to be kosher. That's right. So it's right, pigskin for sure.
It might not go over too well. Stuff. But that's for Jewish listeners. Well, anyway, we want to get back to these revisionists who are behind bars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sister Monica has something she wants to talk about, and she's even.
Well,
I'd
like to highlight Philip Hassler this week. I know last week we highlighted Vincent Renouard, and I'll just reiterate: Vincent Renouard is a French man who is now currently in Edinburgh, Scotland, and they're trying to extradite him back to France. And Nancy read out a letter from him last week, and I've been in a really nice letter writing correspondence with Philip Hassler, also known as Mr. Bond. So he's a rap artist, I guess you'd call it. And they don't like that he's awake about what's going on in the world, and they have sentenced him to 10 years. Now, the guy is just the nicest guy. I'm really, really enjoying this letter writing with him, and that it's been probably a year and a half since we started our correspondence. I'm going to read bits out of a older letter, but it just talks a little bit about him and his brother. Now, this one's from May 16th of 2022, and at that time he wasn't sure yet if they would get their appeal, if the appeal to lessen the sentence, because he'd already received the sentence. But I'll just read a bit here. It says, "Dear Monica, yes, insane is probably the only word to describe it. 10 years prison for sharing politically incorrect songs. And I don't have any priors, never been in trouble with the law before. Of course, this didn't keep them from insinuating that I am an extraordinary danger, which increased my maximum sentence from 10 to 20 years. They just pulled that out of thin air without any evidence. If it were totally up to them, they would have opted for burning me alive in the town square for sure. Obviously, we are going to appeal, but I'm deliberately not getting my hopes up. It's better to expect the worst. In any case, it's another summer of waiting here in jail. And thankfully, at least my brother is allowed to remain free until a verdict is final. He got 4 years, which was excessive too. If we could get to 3 or below, he would be viable for an ankle monitor. We'll see." I'll just interject here that the appeal happened this year in January, and they lost their appeal. So Philip's sentence is 10 years, and his brother's sentence is 4 years. And so I presume he's in jail now because the appeal failed. And so I'm quite sure he is. Now, I'll continue with the letter. He says, "It's comforting to know that there are good, honest, honorable people such as yourself out there who sympathize with me and others in my situation. It's an encouraging reminder that not the entire world has gone completely crazy. Yes, please do talk about my case. I want the world to know how this regime, whose supporters, collaborators, and figureheads in media and politics keeps praising..." And then he puts a square there that he kind of just blots out. So keeps praising this block, this square there, "for its democracy and freedom of speech, this beacon of liberty, treats a subject what happens to utter the wrong mouth noises." Okay, so you can all guess what that square is representing. I could have a guess that it maybe represents a country that starts with the letter I in the Middle East and and the people that were not allowed to criticize lest would be called anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he says, I agree with your assessment that the system is in its death throes, and this is why it lashes out more and more violently. Now, I'm going to just read a little bit more from another one of his letters a little bit later. And he says, about my brother, because I do want to talk about this. About my brother, he got 4 years, also no priors, for running a website called Judas Watch, which documented public figures engaged in globalist activities with sources and, you know, like news articles, etc., and showed how they're connected. So, you see, sometimes the sources, they can be Jewish sources, they can be all kinds of sources, because they do tell us stuff, but it's just that the way the mainstream media presents things and the headlines they give us a certain image and a picture. Anyway, continuing with his letter here, since we have both appealed, he is still free and actually still has his job for now. But that was last summer. And then he goes on to say, okay, I'm allowed to receive all kinds of letters in all colors. Because I talked to him about in the States, like Matt Hale, he wasn't allowed to receive anything in color, for example. But so I just asked Philip. He says, no, I can get letters in all colors. I've even received postage stamps, postcards too, photos too. So there's no limits there, but no books though. Okay, so if you want, I could read his address out. However, I am waiting for a letter since his appeal, because sometimes they move prisoners after their final verdict has been given. I would hope that they would forward the letter if people want to write to him. He's in Josefstadt. The prison in Josefstadt. Josefstadt. That's Josefstadt, and it's Wickenburg Gasse 18-22. And I'll spell that as Wickenburg. Gasse, and then 18-22, and then the postal code, so next line, it would be 1080 Vienna, Austria. That's his address if you want to write him a letter. And he really writes beautiful letters back. He's got beautiful handwriting, and he's got a good sense of humor, and he's really a nice guy. So that's what I'd like to say about Philip Hassler. Mr. Bond.
Tell people why he actually ended up there.
I was speaking into my phone. I was trying to research something. Get that address one more time, if you don't mind, Monica.
Okay. Josefstadt. So Justizanstalt, but I think you can shorten that to J-A, like a prison. That would be like for the prison, J-A. Josefstadt. So Josefstadt. And then the next line, Wickenburg Gasse, that's Wickenburggasse, 18-22. Next line, 1080 Vienna. And then next line, Austria.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really hope that we can generate some letters. You know, before we go to the third hour, I'd like to mention two other people I really want to put almost at the head of the line to tar and feather. That'll be the Shelby County Attorney, U.S. Attorney Steve Mulroy, who really is he wasn't elected. He was appointed by George Soros, the billionaire Jew. And Kevin Ritz, United States Attorney for the Western District of Tennessee. And so Steve Mulroy, what he's done, reason I want to tar and feather him first, he has done away with all bond. Anything short of first-degree murder, you could. These niggas, these crazy feral Negroes, do not have to post bond. That's why they're actually dragging people out of their cars. This place called Germantown Parkway, a major thoroughfare through Memphis, Tennessee. They're dragging people out of their cars at stoplights and beating the hell out of them and robbing them. And Steve Mulroy is turning them loose. I hope Steve Mulroy gets raped and sodomized by one of them before this week is over with. People are transitioning into the third hour, so please hold on to your seats. And me, Monica, and Miss Nancy are going to join Gene for the third hour.